It's good to be here tonight, and coming back, I always see people that I know here, have a lot of friends here, and having come to camp meeting over the years, and having been here for different events, having preached here before, and I always look forward to coming back here to this church. What a blessing it is, and I consider Pastor Ennis my pastor. I tell people that all the time, and I call on him for wisdom from time to time, and what a blessing that is. Amen. Just want to say a few things tonight about the work as we get started. I do want you to stop by and take a look at the pictures that we brought. And I told somebody that we're blessed in that we're starting a new church in a church. And the Lord blessed us that way, and we're excited about that. The building that we're in is a beautiful building. And as we go around and we invite people to come, a lot of people say, we're so glad to see that church open. The church had been closed for 3 years. They had not been services in the church. We're there in Fremont, North Carolina. How many people know where Fremont's at? It's not that far down the road, amen? And so we're just there in the little town of Fremont. We're on Main Street, 400 East Main Street. The church that we're in, the building that's there, I should say, was built before 1890. So it's been there a little while. So we're not the new kids on the block. The church has been there, and I did a little research and found out that the history that was written on the church, the first thing that they can find on it was in 1890, they were looking for a supply pastor. So it was already established, and they were looking for a supply pastor. And when you see the pictures of the church, you can see the history of it just by looking at the church, the design, the architecture, those things. It's amazing what the Lord has done. But just to tell you a little bit how we got moved by the Lord to be there, I would drive by this church several times taking care of some business. And I had seen that the church had been closed, and going by and seeing this building closed and there was no church in there, and it just got on my heart that there needed to be a church in there. Seeing churches close all across our land, and most of us have heard of numbers of churches that are closing, and this church in the last few years had been a Free Will Baptist church, and they opened it as a mission work, I think, and it ran for several years, and they closed it. They got down to about five or six members. The pastor left, and those five or six members just decided it was time to hang it up. And so they did that, and the building was sitting there closed. And I just began to research about the building and find some things out. But the story is I was driving by there one day, and the Lord laid it on my heart that I just needed to stop and pray. And I stopped in one of the parking spaces there and began to pray what the Lord might have me to do. And I thought certainly the Lord would have me to come over and help somebody else get this church open. It's always somebody else. Probably most of you sitting in the pew tonight, when you hear the message, you'll say, oh, that's somebody else. We usually always see it as somebody else. And I thought somebody else needed to open that building. And so I was praying, Lord, who is it that you want me to help to get this church open? And through that, about a year later, the Lord took me through some circumstances and showed me some things that it was me that he wanted to go over and do that work. I got an answer on that thing. And so we were excited about what the Lord has done. And the church will seat about 150 people, and we have about four Sunday school rooms that will divide and open up into a fellowship area. And so the Lord has just blessed us with a tremendous facility. We took about six people over with us to get started. And our first service was November the 21st. We had 37 people on that Sunday morning. We were excited about what the Lord has done. Now, we knew we would have some curiosity seekers and different things show up that first day, but our numbers have been between 25 and 30. On Sunday morning and Wednesday nights, we've been in the high 20s and just a good attendance. And the Lord's blessing there is, I just think it's outstanding for a new work. We've knocked on doors in town. We designed our own little thing here for knocking on doors in town. And by the way, I understand you guys kind of having trouble knocking on doors in Clayton, but I guess Fremont's still an old-fashioned town. And they have welcomed us with open arms. I think out of all the men that have been out with me, we've only can count one door we've had slammed in our face. We've had a lot of other responses, but only one door that was slammed in our face. But we printed up these cards that just had our service time on there and a little information about the church and the gospel on the back. And I put some of those on our display out there so you can see that. But it's amazing. You can see these things glowing all over town, stuck on doors or people not home. And we were passing them out at the Christmas parade, and we put candy canes on them and gave them away, and I just had a tremendous response to that. The town manager has visited our church. The town's been very helpful in helping us get the doors open and getting through the inspections that were necessary. Brother Leon, you know about inspections, don't you? And we had to go through an inspection. The building had been closed for 3 years. And what the amazing thing was, we went in there, And it was about that deep in dust. But we had everything that we needed to have church. All the pews were there. The hymn books were there. Two pianos in the building. The offering plates were there. We've even got all the communion stuff. I mean, when they left, they left. And we got all those things. We're renting the building. And the people that we're renting from said, look, use all that stuff that's in there, you just use it. And if you decide to buy the building, then all that will go with it. We got to rambling in the storage building out back, and we had a riding lawnmower and a push lawnmower. And I called the guy, I said, do you know all this stuff here? He said, oh, yeah, that's yours. Use it. And so the Lord just blessed us in a tremendous way. And we are renting the building, believe it or not. And I want you to see those pictures. I hate to even tell you this without you seeing the building. You'll say, that place is a dive. But it's the way the Lord works. We're renting that building for $400 a month. It's unbelievable. And they give us at the end of a year, we can purchase the property for $80,000. Again, you're saying it's got to be a piece of junk, but it's a wonderful building. Brother Ennis has been over there. He's preached for us, and the Lord has blessed us. We prayed about the building as we opened it. We turned the power on. We turned the water on. We had one water leak under a utility sink. We bought what we needed at the hardware store to fix that. And after it had been shut off for 3 years with no heat in the building, and we turned on the heat and the air, and everything worked. We had to replace one capacitor. It cost us $20 that we had to do. And so we believe the Lord preserved this building for us. The Lord had a plan, and he put all these things in place. And it's just amazing the way we've seen the things work there as we've opened the doors. And I'm so excited about what the Lord is going to do there. So we're going to have a special service also. If you'd like to come visit with us without taking anybody away from their church, we're going to have a special service on a Friday night on February the 11th. And Brother Marvin West and his family are going to be with us, and they're going to do special music, and Brother Marvin's going to preach for us. And so we have a special service that night, and we'll be sending some more information about that. So if you'd like to actually see what we've got going on, I had some people tell me, preacher, they said, well, another church that was trying to help us out, they said, we want to see your church. We're going to slide over there one Sunday night. I said, no, don't do that. Your pastor's helping us and supporting us. Don't leave your church to come see us. You wait till we have something special, but we'd love to have you come then. And if you know people down in our area in Fremont, and when I say our area, it's only a few minutes from Kinley and Stantonsburg and Eureka and Goldsboro and even out in the Wilson area. There's a lot of Lucama, so many areas that are just, we're very centrally located there around those areas. And if you know people that are unchurched, we'd certainly be glad to visit them, as that's what we're about, doing the Lord's work there, that we might see souls come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We named the church Cross Point Baptist Church, and our slogan is Cross Point Baptist Church, pointing souls to the cross. That's what the name Crosspoint is about. We want to be about winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not about drawing folks away from our already existing church or trying to pull people away from good Bible-believing works, but we want to win people through the Lord. And there is not another fundamental Bible-believing King James Bible-preaching church in our area for miles. You got to go back to Wilson. You got to go back on the other side of Goldsboro. There's a lot of area out there without a good Bible-believing church. And so we believe the Lord has placed us right where we need to be to get that work done. So with all that said tonight, I want to try to preach to you on a few things that will help you understand about our burden. If you would, take your Bibles and turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 12 tonight as we get into the Word of God. I just try to use one verse for my text tonight, so I'll try to be timely. I've been accused of being long-winded. A few years ago, I got me a smaller Bible and a smaller notebook. I thought it would give me smaller messages, but hadn't really worked out that way. So tonight I'm just going to try to preach on this one verse and share some thoughts with you here. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, and the Word of God says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the holy Word of God. Lord, I pray you would help me tonight to preach the Word of God. Lord, may not only I present our burden tonight, but may I be a help to this dear church, to this pastor, to the people here. Lord, we thank you for their friendship, for their love, for their concern for what we're trying to do. And Lord, I thank you for Pastor Ennis and his faithfulness over the years here. May you continually bless this church. Now, Lord, use me as an instrument tonight as your servant to achieve your will. I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I would say this, the church seems to be in retreat today. I'm talking about the Bible-believing church, the fundamental churches like I was talking about. It seems that we are almost backing up today. Or you hear people say, we're just holding on. We're just trying to hang on. You ask people how things are going, and they say, well, brother, we're just hanging on. I think it's a shame that we tend to think that way. And they say, we're doing all we can to hold on. Well, I believe that the church is still God's plan. Amen? I believe that is still God's plan to get the gospel out and to see souls saved and to edify the saints and all of those things. We tend to use the excuse that we're living in the last days. And we use the excuse of the world's condition that's going on all around us. Could I remind you of a few things? That when Noah was doing his work for the Lord, the world was so wicked that God was preparing to destroy the world because of its wickedness. Elijah stood against a wicked and perverse people to stand up for God. He was a very small minority that was outnumbered tremendously. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet as we know him, preached to a crowd that did not want to hear his message, but he was faithful in the work that he was doing. Can I go even further and say, as we get to the birth of the New Testament church, we find that church in a time of persecution, in a time of wickedness under the Roman rule. If we know much at all about the Roman government was well known for about two things. Number one, they had a tremendous desire for fleshly things. And that the Roman world at that time fulfilled that desire tremendously. And they were very loose living people. And then I believe because of that, and because of the stand that Christians took during that time, their next favorite thing was to persecute Christians. And we know that was a terrible time, but it was the time of the birth of the church. And great works were done for God in the midst of all of those things as we see the church birth during that time. This verse that we're looking at tonight was given during the midst of that Roman rule when Christians were executed and when Christians were jailed and sawn in half and burned at the stake and all those things. Now, listen, I know this verse that we're looking at tonight by keeping it in context. I understand that it was Jesus speaking this verse to his disciples. But may we say tonight, if we're saved, if we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, if we're members of the church tonight, we claim to be his disciples. So surely there's application for us here tonight as we look at this verse in the Word of God. And I believe this. I believe the church is still able to do great works. Amen. I believe there's still great things that God would have us to accomplish. I believe that this church and our church can still do great things for God. So tonight, I want to try to preach on this thought from John chapter 14 and verse 12, greater works. Greater works, if you would stay with me tonight. Let me give you this first point as we just break this text down tonight in verse 12. The Word of God says, verily, verily, I say unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you. We see a double verily there. There's emphasis that's being placed on these words that are about to be said here. Our Lord and our Savior is putting that great emphasis here. Now that word verily, verily is this to say truly, truly. It's an attention-getting thing. Have you ever been talking to somebody? This kind of bothered me when people do this, but I have seen people do this before. You'll be talking to somebody, they've told you tremendous things. They've told you a lot of things, and then they'll go, well, to tell you the truth. Well, wait a minute, has everything else been a lie? They just say, well, to tell you the truth. So you begin to wonder, has everything else they told you been a lie? But actually, they're doing that for emphasis is what we do that for. We're trying to say, listen, now, if you didn't hear anything else I said, then hear this. And I believe that every word of God is important. I believe that every jot and tittle in this King James Bible is the inspired, infallible word of God. I have no doubt about that. But I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, verily, verily, I believe he's about to tell us something that we really need to listen to. And I think that in the years that I have been in the church, and I got saved in 1973. I know y'all are saying I don't look that old, and I say thank you for that. But actually, I was 7 years old in 1973 when I got saved. I've been saved a long time. I've been in church a long time. But I've heard very little preaching out of this text that I'm looking at tonight, or even this verse, or even this thought of the greater works. And so I got hung on this thing, and it challenged my heart. And we've kind of made it our theme there at Cross Point Baptist Church. But I want you to see that there's a special emphasis here that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling those disciples something that's so important. And if it was important for those disciples in that day, at that time, then it is important for us tonight as well. So the first part of that verse there is to give us that emphasis. And he says, I say unto you. Tonight he's saying something to you. I want you to listen for what he's saying tonight for you. Now the next part of our verse says this. He that believeth on me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me.
This is a special qualifying a phrase here. This is qualifying a promise that we're about to receive. This is a verse of promise, but there's a qualification here that you've got to meet to be able to claim that promise. And I want you to say, he that believeth on me. It is for those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. And that's what it's talking about. If we have accepted him in our heart, it's the Lord Jesus Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. Amen? There's nothing else that'll get the job done. We know it's not by works, but it's by faith that we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It's with the heart that man believeth unto salvation. Amen? So there's something that goes on inside of our heart, and we know then that we have that testimony with the Holy Spirit that we're saved. So tonight, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you know that you're saved tonight, then this verse applies to you. Anybody here tonight saved, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all do say amen, don't you? You just had to be prodded a little bit. But if you tonight, if you're saved, this verse certainly applies to you. So tonight we can claim that verse, and we're qualified for the promise that we find here in our text. So I want you to see point number three. The works that I do, shall he do also. The works that I do, shall he do also. Now, we already have qualified that this is speaking to saved people. And it says we'll do the works that Jesus did. Listen to me. A genuine believer will do the same kind of works that Jesus did. One that is a born-again believer will do the works that Jesus did during that time. Now, when we get out and we knock doors, you know, it's amazing. Almost everybody in Eastern North Carolina now saved. You know, we were talking about it. The first thing you got to do in order to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, in the last 2 weeks, we've had four professions from knocking on doors. But when you get out, the first thing you got to do is find somebody that will admit that they're lost. Amen. Until you can get them lost, you can't get them saved. Amen. But it seems that everybody that we talk to, they're saved. And then you'll say, well, now you're a child of God, you're saved. Where do you attend church? Oh, well, you know, they all got another answer and this and that. And then, well, you know, they don't do anything. Do you read your Bible? When's the last time you read your Bible? And it's amazing how people will give you all kinds of funny answers and things. But I'll tell you this, the Bible right here says that we are, if we are those that are saved, if we believe, amen, then we'll do the works that he did. We'll do the works that he did also. Can I tell you something? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, he had a tremendous love for the people of this earth while he was here. Amen. He loved them. He ministered to those that were sick. He healed folks. He raised the dead. But listen, he also witnessed to men one-on-one. The Lord Jesus Christ set the greatest example of witnessing that we can ever find. You know, it's amazing to me. I've pastored, and I pastored for a number of years. I was there in Elm City for 9 years. I pastored before I got there. And I've had folks tell me, I know you've heard this, Brother Ennis. I've had folks tell me, they said, well, preacher, you know, I believe in salvation. I believe what you're doing, but I don't know about all this door-to-door witnessing. I don't know about all this knocking on doors and talking to folks one-on-one. I think we ought to just preach and let them walk the aisle and get saved, amen. Well, I'm all for that. I'm praying for folks to walk the aisle every time we have a service in our church, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. It's getting harder and harder to get lost folks in the doors to our church, and we've got to go out and get them, amen. We've got to go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. But Jesus dealt with men one-on-one. He dealt with Nicodemus one-on-one. He dealt with Zacchaeus one-on-one. The woman at the well one-on-one. The maniac of Gadara, a man that was possessed with devils, amen. And listen, even in our little town of Fremont, I got to thinking about a man possessed with devils. We were door knocking, and we ran into a member of the Wiccan church. They're a witch there in the little town of Fremont. The devil is alive and well today, amen. But you know, when I thought about that witch, I thought about that maniac of Gadara. And I've been praying that witch would get saved, amen. And the devil would be cast out and that we'd have victory there, amen. What a blessing that would be. I think it'd be a great testimony for somebody to stand up in our church and say, I used to be a witch, but now I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And I believe that can happen, amen. I still believe that can go on. He dealt with people in the streets. He dealt with people in their homes. Amen. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is to come and has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we have that same responsibility to do that. We need to be out trying to seek those that are lost and bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've accepted the Great Commission for the area of Fremont, North Carolina. We've accepted the call to go there and carry out the Great Commission. I've told our people, hey, look, if we just wanted to open up the doors to a building and we just wanted to have a supper and a singing every now and then, we'd just all go join the Ruleton Club, amen? Hey, but listen, we're a church, and we're going to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to get out, and we're going to try to reach people with that message, amen, and do what the Lord has called us to do. Now, these verses say that we'll do the same thing. We'll love people. We'll care for the sick, and we'll witness to the lost. Hey, we need that kind of compassion. Can I say this? I believe this. If there's one thing that I think our fundamental independent Baptist movement has fallen short on a lot of times is the genuine love that we ought to have. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this. People don't care what you've got to tell them until they know that you care about them. Amen. When you go out and you care about people, you know, there was a pastor that was there at that church years ago that I'm at now. And when I go around and talk to people, and I've met people in the neighborhood, they'll say, oh, yeah, that's where Pastor Crank used to be. And they'll say, you know, he was the nicest man. I've learned something just from listening to him talk about Pastor Crank. They said, you know, he cared about people. You know, I remember that he used to take his days, and he would take people to the doctor. They might not be a member of his church. I met this one lady that was a member of the Methodist church there. She'd been in the Methodist church for 60 years. She was about 80 years old. And she'd been in that Methodist church for 60-some years. And she said, yeah, our brother Crank used to come and take me to doctor's visits. And he reached out to people all around that town, and everybody said positive things about him when he was there. And that church was in its heyday when he was there because he cared about the people in that town. Well, we've started something there. We've started what we call a community closet out there. And we're bringing in clothes and food, and we're trying to meet the needs of the needy people there in our town. And we're trying to get out and visit the widows and do those things that I think that we've overlooked in our fundamental independent Baptist movement today. Hey, it's great. I love being on fire for God. Hey, listen, some of you have heard me preach. I can preach against sin with the best of them. Hey, I love preaching on hell, amen. And I love to stand up and shout about the King James Bible. But if we miss the love of God, the love that the Lord Jesus Christ intended for us, then none of the rest of it will get the job done. Amen. Hey, listen, we need to care about people. We need to do the kind of works that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Amen. Hey, listen, I know Jesus spoke firmly. I remember one time years ago when I first started preaching with the first church that I pastored. Man, you know how on fire you are when you get in that first church. I thought, man, all these churches that are struggling, you wait till I get me a church. We'll turn the world upside down in 6 months, you know. I was preaching the house down. I went in there every night like it was camp meeting, man. Half the crowd was scared to come back. I was preaching so mean and so hard. And I had a man come up to me and he says, well, you know, preacher, I wish you'd preach more like Jesus. And I said, you couldn't take it if I preached like Jesus, you bunch of snakes and serpents. Isn't that what Jesus called them all, a bunch of hypocrites? I said, y'all couldn't take it if I... But listen, Jesus was stern, and he spoke sternly at times. But I believe that every word that uttered out of his mouth, they could see the love and the compassion that he had. And we need that kind of love and compassion, amen. Hey, listen, we'll not browbeat anybody into heaven, amen. Hey, we'll not browbeat anybody into following the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that love and compassion that our Lord and our Savior had. And when we go with that compassion, people will see it and they'll know that it's genuine. Amen? Well, let me go on down to my next point here in verse 12. And we see the next words we find there. It says, and greater works than these shall he do. Now, this one dumbfounded me for just a moment now. I didn't have a problem with when it said that we'll do the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did. I said, well, if we're saved, if we're children of God, then certainly we ought to be doing what Jesus did, amen. I believe that. But I read that verse and it said, greater works than these shall he do. I said, wait a minute now. Greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ did? I said, let me go back now. I got to conjugate this thing. I got to break this thing down here and figure this thing out. Who's the he that it's talking about there? And greater works than these shall he do? Well, if you go back and look at it, it's those of us that believe. That's who the he is. Greater works than these shall he do. This this is telling us, now stay with me a minute. I'm going to break it down. Don't start throwing stones at me yet. Listen, it says that we're going to do greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read the whole thing. I see y'all looking at me like a calf at a new gate now. Stick with me here. Look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Is that what it says, Brother Ennis? It does say that, doesn't it? Greater works than these shall he do. It says we're going to do greater works than what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Now listen, let me go ahead and get this straight. I don't want y'all to think I'm preaching some strange doctrine up here. Nobody will ever do anything greater than what our Lord and our Savior did when he went to the cross and died for us. Amen? That is the greatest work that could ever be done. He paid a sin debt that I could not pay. He suffered for you and me. Amen? And nobody will ever do a greater work than that. But I believe there's an application here when it's talking about the works that were done here on earth. I'm talking about the works that were done to man here on earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry only lasted about 3.5 years here on earth. And he did some tremendous things. We said he raised the sick and he raised the dead. Amen. He did tremendous things. But that word of God says greater works shall he do. Speaking of those of us that believe. Amen. Hey, now that's a challenge to rise to, isn't it? But I want to show you something here. Well, we find evidence of this in the New Testament church age. Look over in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. And we'll read down through verse 41. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 souls got saved at one time. Now listen, I've studied that gospel, and when I read this verse, I really went back and studied that thing. In the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here on earth, do you remember a day when he was here on earth preaching that 3,000 souls got saved? Do we have that recorded anywhere? We don't have that recorded. At this time in the book of Acts, the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended back up into heaven. He's left this earth. And these are just men given the like passions like we are that God was using and the Holy Spirit was working through. And he used this preacher to preach that message, and 3,000 souls got saved that day. That's a greater work. Amen. But you can look over in Acts chapter 4, just a page or so over in Acts chapter 4 in verse 1 through 4. And they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That'll still make folks mad today when you preach that. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day. For it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of men was about 5,000. Now we see 5,000 getting saved. And that's just the number of men. Now, we know if you study history, they usually didn't record what happened with the women or even the children, but 5,000 men got saved, amen? What a blessing that is. And I'll tell you this, I've found this out from experience, that usually when the head of the household gets saved, then the family's going to follow, amen? That was a tremendous work that went on when 5,000 got saved. You can go over to Acts chapter 5 and read. We won't take time to do that now. But over in Acts chapter 5, it says a great multitude of men and women got saved. Amen. And so here we see thousands of people getting saved. And this is in the church age, the New Testament church age. Jesus has ascended back up to heaven, and these great works are happening. Hey, listen, there are many great miracles that are recorded there in the book of Acts. Amen. Hey, I love to read through those miracles and see the great things that our Lord and our Savior did. One of my favorite stories is Acts chapter 12, when old Peter was in prison. And best I can understand, he was being guarded by about 16 soldiers. I think that's right, if you do the math there. And an angel came to him and loosed the chains and carried him out of there. And he was set free. That was a miracle of God in the church age. Amen. Paul and Silas down in the prison in Acts chapter 16. And they were in the worst place that anybody could be imaginably. They were in the lower inner parts of the prison. And I've always been told that they had the trickle-down theory for their facilities there. You know what that is, don't you? They didn't have any bathrooms. Everything just trickled down. And they were in the lower part of the prison there. They were in a dungeon in the worst place that you could be. But yet they sang praises to God. And a miracle happened. They prayed and the ground shook. Amen. Hey, we need some ground-shaking prayer once again in the church today. Amen. And a great event takes place there in the book of Acts. And I say all this to say that greater things have happened, amen? And I believe that greater things can still... The last time I checked, brother, we're still living in the church age, amen? The rapture has not occurred yet. And I believe that greater things can still happen, amen? I believe that God is still in the miracle business, amen? I believe that thousands of souls can still be saved. I hear people give testimonies, and I hear people talk about meetings that happen, and folks say, well, I don't believe so-and-so, and I heard they got all these folks got saved over here, and I don't... Where they at now and all those kind of things. But listen, I believe it can still happen. I do believe it can still happen. I had a good friend of mine that told me he went to this conference years ago, and they recognized this pastor as the soul-winningest pastor in the United States of America. And they gave him this big trophy, and he made a speech, and he preached for about 30 minutes on soul winning and how to win people to Jesus. And they talked about how successful he'd been in winning people to Jesus. And so about 2 years later, this guy that I knew, he went to the town where this guy pastored. And he says, man, he was one town over. He moved to a new church. He said, I got to go see. The first thing I want to do is see this guy's church. He's the soul winningest pastor in the United States of America. I'm going to go see his church. And he said he got over there and he said, I pulled up in his parking lot and my church was bigger than his, building wise. He said, I went in and met him, and he showed me around the facilities, and he had his little board up on the wall, and they had 125 that Sunday. He said, well, he had won hundreds to the Lord a few years ago, and he was a soul-winning pastor in the United States of America. And he thought, wow, he must have started with zero, and he's got 125. He said, but he didn't understand what happened. And I know that we hear those kind of accounts that are going on. I know things. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. I believe as long as men are breathing and the Holy Spirit is working, I believe we can still see thousands of souls saved. Amen. I believe God is still in the soul-saving business. There's some words that I find throughout the Scripture. And I want us to look at these words back over. Now, I'll just share them in a couple places. Mark chapter 10 and verse 52. That I tell you, I think this is where the log jam is at right here. I think this is where the log jam is at. And you say, why don't we see God work like we used to? I believe this is where it's at. Mark chapter 10 and verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Think about that one for a moment. Then look over in Luke chapter 17 and verse 9. Luke chapter 17 and verse 9. And the word of God says, verse 19, excuse me. And he said unto them, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And throughout the Scripture, you'll look in that gospel and you'll see, according unto thy faith. I believe that we're having miracles today according unto our faith. I believe we're reaping what we have sown. I believe it is according to our faith. Would somebody say amen with me right there? I believe that we're waiting for somebody else to do it. And a lot of the churches, we're waiting for the preacher to do it. It's his job, isn't it? We're waiting for the... Hey, listen, nobody brings revival in a suitcase. The evangelist doesn't bring it to you. The preacher's not going to bring it here. Now, certainly, if the preacher's not excited by his message, then nobody else is going to be either. But listen, it's according to thy faith, amen, that I believe these things will happen. I believe that we can still see people saved right here in this town. I believe that in Fremont, North Carolina, I believe we're going to reap a harvest because we've got a little group of people that have gathered together. And we believe that the Lord is still in the soul-saving business. And we're down on our knees crying out to heaven. And we're begging God for souls. Amen. You know what? I get on my knees and I say, Lord, send me some dope addicts. Lord, I want some prostitutes. And I'll take the tattoos and the earrings. I want all the ones, Lord, that nobody else wants. Lord, give me those ones that some pastor's run off from his place. He's give up on them, and there's no help from them. Lord, we'll take all the throwaways and bring them over to our place. And then I say, Lord, give me some help, Lord. Amen? But listen, we're going to build a church out of what nobody else wants. Amen? Hey, listen, we want souls. Amen? Every soul that's living and breathing is headed for eternity somewhere, either heaven or hell. Amen? and we're concerned about the souls of men. We want to do greater works for the glory of God. I claim this verse over here. Look over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And I believe you'll know this verse when we get there. Probably most of you could quote it. And I just want to think about this for a minute. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Think about it. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly." Amen. What a blessing that is. Amen. When we think above all that we ask or think. You know, I was thinking when we went over and we were looking at our building and we were excited about the building and all those things there. And I was just praying, "Lord, just give us a crowd that we can get started out. And Lord, maybe we can just pay the light bill and pay the gas and all these kind of things." And one of the men that was coming over to help me, we walked in there, and the first time he looked in the building, remember the church seats 150 people, he said, "Preacher, where are we going to expand that? That church will seat 150 people. We're starting from scratch. We got 6 people. And he says, "Well, this thing ain't going to last us, brother. What are we going to do?" I said, "Glory to God. That's the kind of faith that we need, amen. If we have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, amen, then we can move a mountain, amen. Do you believe that? Hey, it's in the Word of God, amen. And if it's in the Word of God, then it can't be a lie. And if we have that faith, then we can move mountains. I believe that when God calls us to His work, He's called us to mountain moving business. Hey, I've had people say, I had somebody tell me this. They said, "Well, you know, those folks tried to keep that church going over there. That was a Free Will Baptist mission, and they couldn't, if a Free Will Baptist couldn't get it going in Eastern North Carolina." We're talking about Free Will Baptist country, you know. They said, "We don't know who can do it." I said, "I'll tell you who can do it. God can do it, amen." Hey, listen, I'm not depending on me being a great administrator. I'm not depending on me being a soul winner. I'm not depending on my ability to preach or study or write outlines. If anything happens in Fremont, North Carolina, it'd be because God in heaven blessed us and made it happen. Amen? If anything happens there, and I believe it will happen there, because we're trusting in the Lord to get the work done. We have a responsibility to strive for these greater works. I believe that God can still do these things. Now, with all of that said, let me go back to our text, and I'll try to wind this up here. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "And greater works than these shall he do." Now, you might begin to like me again here. It says this down in verse 12, "Because I go unto my Father." The greater works that we're going to do than he did is because he goes to his Father. It is because the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne and he's interceding on our behalf. That's the only way we'll get anything done. It's because we're calling out to heaven and we're saying, "Lord, help us. Lord Jesus, bring us souls. Lord Jesus, give us the strength to win the lost. Lord Jesus, give us the strength to meet the needs of the needy. Lord, help us." And when he intercedes and when he steps in, then that's when it's going to happen. The greater works that you need to do here in Clayton, the greater works that we need to do in Fremont, North Carolina, are all because I go unto my Father. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, the devil is doing all that he can to stop us in our works. The devil is doing, hey, listen, the people that we won to Jesus, we've been getting them in the church, we're trying to get them in the baptistry and all those things. The devil's doing all that he can to stop that from happening. The devil's doing that same kind of work here. "But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world," amen? And we can have victory, amen? We have victory in Jesus because he has gone to his Father. We can do greater works, amen? I challenge you tonight, would you, Fellowship Baptist Church, make up your mind tonight that you're going to do greater works. Greater works here in this church. And pray with us and help us and support us as we try to do greater works for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our theme for 2011, is greater works. We just put it up on our bulletin board and put some scripture up to go with it. We're going to do greater works for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with us? Would you help us as we seek to do what the Lord would have us to do? And would you arise to those greater works here where the Lord has called you to work? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and Brother Ennis, you come. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the way you've worked in our service tonight. Lord, everyone was so attentive at my feeble attempt to preach. Lord, I just pray you'll use it for your honor and your glory. I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.